Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We open the whole thing up with Two Italian Siblings by Arm Cannon, and you have a very tasty shake that you are consuming right now. You already know this face. You got this face. I know it's the face you always have, but it's really funny that this is the way you're approaching the... It's kind of like a cold open to a show. It's a shake. Get it? It's cold open.
It's cold open. Your comedy awards in the mail.
I know. Thank you.
By the way, you really wanted to distract somebody from their job. Drink a shake with uninterrupted eye contact doing right now.
It's very strange. He hasn't stopped looking at me. It's very strange. For those that are new to the show, thank you for tuning in. This is the Experience Points Radio Show every Wednesday night from 9 to 10. That's the time slot, on KSLU. We offer nerd and geek knowledge. We throw music at you, reviews at you, opinions at you. We even try to sell you things. No, we don't.
We can't call to action.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. FCC. I'm not calling anybody to action, all right?
Mm-hmm. I can even say where this milkshake is from.
Right, it's a nondescript container.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got some milk, and it's got a whole lot of shake in it.
Yeah.
We have a website. It's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We also have social media landing pages at exppoints.com/social. So Facebook, Google+, Twitter, all that stuff. Like, subscribe, follow us if you'd like. And normally this is the segment of the show where I would say... We have a lot of backlog episodes, and sorry about that.
I wish we didn't have a backlog.
Well, Dustin, little man, you won't have to worry any longer, actually. We are up to date.
Golly
gee. As far as I know. In fact, this is kind of crazy. So for the people that have been sticking it out with us, we've been a year behind for a while. But,
yeah.
You know, very recently we got one of Southeastern's, one of the KSLU's own, to...
A minion.
To help, but a very powerful minion because what they've done is they were able to help us get us back on track. So now we can catch up.
She's a sub-boss.
Sub-boss. She's like a mid-tier.
Yeah, where you're like, she's got more HP than I expected.
Right. Like, I don't know if I'm not appropriately geared for this fight.
Yeah, kind of thing where you're just like, because those are the worst because you're not expecting them.
Right.
Where you're just like, oh,
thanks,
geez.
Final Fantasy VII. The world goes into a toilet swirl, and then you're like, oh no, why did I get this powerful thing? So thankfully we were able to sort of reset, get all those edited, get all those uploaded. I actually finished uploading them today.
Tomorrow's the 4th.
Oh yeah, yeah. Happy Independence Day, by the way.
Yeah, happy Independence. This is when it's airing.
Yeah, it's gonna be America's birthday when you're hearing this, but we record this on Tuesdays for now. So as of right now, when you're hearing this, you can go online, you can go on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music podcasting services, Spotify, anywhere you pretty much get mainstream podcasts from, and search for the Experience Points Radio Show, you will find over 180 episodes of content. And I tried to, this is going to be a funny next segment when we talk about kind of going through that backlog, because there's a lot of production that goes into this show. And for over a year, we've sort of been cutting out one part of that production for various reasons.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to really talk about right now. Instead, we're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back. We'll talk about it then. History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by The Megas. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm still working on this shake, and I'm dusting.
I'm dusting this shake off. And your name's not a verb. Anyway, you just heard History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by The Megas.
Isn't it, though? Oh, sorry. Isn't it, though? Sorry.
You're really getting into that.
Sorry.
You're going to pull a muscle.
That accidentally became Rick.
Morty.
Oh, jeez.
So did you watch Bushland Adventures?
Yeah, I think I have. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I have.
So it was the April Fool's joke this year.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. I've been watching, Koala Man, which is by the same people that did that. I've been watching YOLO Part, which is not family, kid, or barely even adult.
You're talking about the Australian Rick and Morty.
Yeah. The Bushland Adventures people, they did a bunch of stuff before they did
that.
Bushland
frightened me.
Or Bushworld or whatever. Yeah, it was really crazy. I loved how starkly different the animation was frame to frame.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked in the earlier segment about how we caught up on a lot of this stuff thanks to someone else from KSLU
doing all of it.
It was Thora.
Yeah, Thora. I don't know why you're keeping her anonymous.
I didn't know if we can keep her anonymous or not. Thora, thank you so much.
She's on air here from every afternoon.
No one knows her. No one knows what she sounds like. She was the one that put in all of the effort, all of the work. I mean, we made the show.
Yeah.
But she made the show.
Well, only Tuesdays. I'm sorry.
Only Tuesdays?
Only Tuesday afternoon now.
Oh, okay. So, like, as soon as we're off the air at recording, she's just like, got to cut this show together, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except that she did that for all the backlog shows. So now, thankfully, we can go back and do that. But in posting all of these online, because there's a workflow, right? Like, we record the show. We write the material sometimes.
Yes.
And then we present the show and produce the show. And we have music in there. And we could put it on like a public radio exchange or something. Mm-hmm. And we could leave all of the audio and the music in there, but we wouldn't be able to make it freely available. We wouldn't be able to podcast it out the way that we do now. It'd be through a separate type of app, similar to how Rock School is.
Yes.
And while I like that, I also like how you could just get it for free and listen to it in a browser if you wanted to without logging in or paying anything.
Availability.
I like availability, and I like it to be free. And because, again, I never want to get – I don't want to get – I don't want this to become a job. I want this to always be fun.
Yes.
And I think making it free is fun. So there is a workflow that we produce it. We have all the audio in there and we air it. And then we have to chop most of the audio out. I can't remember what the legal requirements are, but we have to pretty much just like cut the middle bit of the audio out so that it's like 2 or 3 seconds going in, 2 or 3 seconds fading out. And it's us talking, which we can put online whenever. And that is where we kind of fell off a while back, especially when I fell off. You know, fair point. A lot of stuff happened, and I got preoccupied. Flood happened, and a few other things happened, and I didn't have any support to speak of. To be fair, I didn't ask for support either, so it's all on me. I do believe that. But anyway, after we would cut the music or cut the audio out or whatever, and it would shorten down to typically like anywhere between, if it's a music only show, it's like 8 minutes of me talking or 10 minutes of me talking to like 40 minutes of us talking. You take that file, you compress it to low quality mono audio, so you know, pretty much just something that's good for voice. Mm-hmm. And then you'd put it on a web server, and then you have to connect that web server to exppoints.com in a way that would make it syndicated so that it would go out to iTunes and it would go out to Google and it would go out to Spotify and stuff. And that requires a lot of data about the show. So original air date, the title of the show. I for whatever reason, I have a weird season naming schema. And we're on the 13th and a half season. The summer is typically a half season. So with all of that being said, even though the audio was cut together, I still had to figure out what these shows were about. So I've listened to hours and hours and hours of backlogged audio running at 1.5 speed so that I can
figure out. Are we going to talk about what I think we're going to talk about in just a moment here?
I don't know. There were so many things. There are so many things. Tell me what you think we're going to talk about.
Is it in regards to what you sent me today?
Okay, that's one of them. That's one of them. It was like strolling down memory lane, but like your relationship and my relationship.
Yeah.
But also like with Red Bear and everything, like there were a significant number of shows where she was still on the show. I remember I got annoyed. It was almost like, and I think we make the joke in a previous show that you and I were on, where it's an Experience Points drinking game, you know, every time we say the audio's not cut together, I say it in every show, and it was so annoying.
Now you could be only mostly dead from alcohol poisoning.
Right. Well, I think that was a good thing I did that, because you start to pick up on, whenever you listen to yourself over and over and over again, you start to pick up on the things you absolutely hate about your voice, or you hate about your speech pattern, or whether you put in weird verbal fillers. Are you? I don't think you are.
Really? Yeah. I find myself to be nasally high voice.
I don't think you are at all.
I
think we're both pretty decent as far, and of course I would, but I think we're both pretty decent as far as like our isms, our little nuances and isms.
No, it's not. No, I don't think we have anything that are terrible.
Nothing that we need to go to therapy for, I think.
I don't think so.
But no, the shows about Mass Effect Andromeda were always funny because kind of a throwback. And again, all these shows are there, so I'm kind of highlighting. If you wanted to hear our thoughts about Mass Effect Andromeda and then the follow-up, hey, it's dead.
Yeah.
Those shows were really interesting because when new information came out about the series, we were very quick to adapt to the unfortunate news. Same thing with, I think, three or four of the previous 20 episodes are video game or video game record fraud.
Yeah.
Because it was the guy with Drag Racer, Dragster, and then it was Billy Mitchell, and then it was Billy Mitchell, and then it was Billy Mitchell again. Yeah. We had like 4 episodes with that. There was a legacy, that thing. Yeah, it was crazy, and it's still not done, and that's an interesting thing where we might refer back to these shows, mm-hmm. and now you
His
actually...
Trial by Combat is still...
Right. Well, the most recent thing about Billy Mitchell was that he rented out like a hotel, a conference room, and he pretty much talked nonstop, not really answering any of the questions by the MC. And it was supposed to be to clear his name. And the crazy thing is people didn't go there to bash Billy Mitchell. They went there to see a pop culture icon like this guy who rose up and became like a god gamer, you know, on magazine covers and everything. And it doesn't matter if he's telling the truth or not. Like, people were still lining up to take pictures with him where he would do the peace sign and he'd get in the picture and he would have his tie and everything.
Right. How long do you think that's going to last?
I have no idea. It's crazy. I wouldn't have imagined it would have lasted this long because the court of public opinion has crucified people far less or far more charismatic and far less... I guess
with far less evidence.
Far less evidence. And you know, this actually, and that's the big thing. You know, we talked about the Hardwick situation. I don't know that we have talked about the anything like the Maynard James Keenan situation from Tool and Perfect Circle.
I haven't heard any blowback from the Chris Hardwick episode we aired.
I haven't. What do you mean blowback?
I haven't anybody call the station or anybody going like,
I meant
anything like that.
With when evidence comes out, that's one thing, but there's no evidence to those claims. It's just he said, she said versus with Billy Mitchell.
There's proof.
Right.
There's a measurable instrument of saying.
Well, you said it's like you can see things rendered differently on the screen. I was like, you said it much faster when I was listening to it.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out what to name these shows. Because after 7 or 8 years of doing this, you're running out of names. You don't want to like step on your same thing. The E3 ones are good because it's E3 and then the year.
those are the easy ones. Over the bass.
Or the listen in shows is like listen in and then the album that we're listening to.
Oh, speaking of E3, do you know Critics' game of choice for E3 was? I was kind of surprised.
Oh, God. Critics E3 game of choice. No, I don't know.
Which is kind of a set.
What is it?
Theirs was Resident Evil 2.
The remake?
Yeah.
That's a nostalgia grab.
And that's what it felt like to me. That wouldn't have been my pick.
I, and again, I have to be consistent after hearing my previous my previous shows. Resident Evil 2, I think, is my favorite Resident Evil out of all of them. Yours is Resident Evil 4 because you played a bunch of it.
I played that. I had Resident Evil 4, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater,
and
Devil May Cry 3.
Right.
That
explains why you're the way you are.
I've just been overloaded by...
Good games. I would say Devil May Cry is objectively the worst game out of those three, and it's not a bad game.
Devil May Cry 3, that's the thing. It's all like... They're so good in their own special way.
Yeah, it's button mashy, hack and slash.
Oh, Devil May Cry 3 was kind of a far cry away from that.
Really?
Devil May Cry 3 was a lot tighter fighting system.
I'm trying to remember. I have the trilogy. Maybe I should go back and play.
Devil May Cry, the first one was button mashy. Devil May Cry 3 did a really good job of like, you can try to button mash. When you start getting later in the game, you can't.
You
got to
use actual mechanics.
You got to use the mechanics of weapon switch, juggling, how to dodge. And that's the fine line of Devil May Cry. That's what their core gameplay
became
is.
Became Nier Automata.
Yeah.
Automata.
You know what's fair? Nier Automata, it's not as tight as like Devil May Cry 3 mechanic.
I don't remember. I'm very clearly misremembering Devil May Cry 3. I'm going to have to go and replay it.
Oh,
it's on my PS3. I have like the download.
Your attacks are in relation to your position of the enemy, so how you have to pull on the stick to initiate attacks is dependent upon your orientation.
Yeah, in Nier, it was just you're either going to attack or not. Yeah,
right.
It's binary. Yeah, it's a good point.
And that's what gives it some real depth to that game to where... You have to be conscious of how you're moving the stick because your orientation is constantly changing. So anytime you dodge, you have to reorient how you're attacking.
Huh.
So that's what makes Devil May Cry 3.
I'm gonna have to
so
replay
good.
That because I remember playing one and it's just kind of hard. It's like difficult to play now. It's like playing the original Mass Effect game. It's just hard.
It's just kind of like it feels like I could have grinded like this back in the day.
Better. I didn't know what was better. Like there wasn't a better thing. This was in its time. Yeah. This was really good. But then past that, it's not anymore.
Right. Devil May Cry 3 was a great evolution of
it. I was reading an article on Kotaku or Polygon about how someone's playing Witcher 1 now after playing Witcher 3.
3, yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I remember Witcher 1. Witcher 2, I feel, is pretty playable.
Oh, yeah.
Witcher 1, though, is rigid.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very, very rigid. It's technical and it's rigid. And for people that don't understand what technical means, I mean, it is like a Souls game at some point.
Here's the thing. I recognize it as that after having played Dungeons and Dragons and then going back to Witcher 1,
yeah.
I understand. I'm like, oh, it's number crunching and I can't see that.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Well,
right
and that's
now.
What World of Warcraft was early on.
Right.
It's D&D virtual where you're not rolling the dice unless you're rolling for loot or something. You're not rolling the dice on those crits. The game's yeah. doing it for you.
Like when I played Knights of the Old Republic as a kid, I'm like, what does all this mean? I don't know what I'm looking at. And then going back to it as an adult,
just a basic skills
and then
system.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is D&D.
Yeah.
This is the D&D system to a T.
Yep.
So now I know why I wasn't hitting when I was a kid. Like,
yeah,
you
but
know?
It's neat to go back and do that because I got into a sort of a rhythm of playing some old, watching some old stuff too, but playing some old games that PlayStation 1 games and PlayStation 2 games that, I mean, when the PlayStation 2 came out in 2002,
mm-hmm.
I was just getting into high school
mm-hmm.
Or was a freshman in high school. And, I mean, I thought I was smart, but, I mean, I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't have any perspective, and I missed jokes. And it didn't help that I grew up in, like, you know, small town, you know, Livingston Parish here in Louisiana. So, I mean, agricultural-based and ponds yeah. and fishing, you know, background. I didn't know anything about any of these, like, larger-than-life, larger-than-my-world type concepts. And now that I do and I go back and I replay some of those games, I
yeah.
get how funny or how brutal or how depressing or how all these things whenever, like, you see a really good movie today or you play a really awesome, like, the new God of War or Breath of the Wild or mm-hmm. any game, really, today that's worth its weight, you play that game and you feel something. That was always happening. You were always feeling something.
Yeah.
It was the presentation that left you, you know, breathless or feeling a certain thing if you understood it. And I'm going back and I'm trying to think of the game that I played very recently. Maybe it was Shadow of the Colossus, like on the original PlayStation
yeah.
2. Or maybe it was, I don't want to lie, it was some PlayStation 2 game that I went back and I replayed and I'm like, oh wow, this is actually a really much better game than I originally gave it credit for.
Yeah.
And it's the graphics aren't very good because they're all muddy. We went through that series of games where it was after sprite-based games. We got into polygonal 3D model-based games.
Yeah.
And they just didn't hold up because we didn't have the texture power to push
yeah.
know, the good graphics.
Going back, I guess the theme of this section is like going back
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I played Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. I played mm-hmm. on PS3 when it got remade for PS3.
Right.
A game they've remade three times now.
Right.
The Shadow of the Colossus loved. I adore that. That I'll play again. I guess because Ico is just an escort mission.
It's just an escort
I
mission.
Became so frustrated within. Oh my gosh, within a couple of like minutes, I was like, I'm done with this. I can't be grabbing her by the hand and dragging mm-hmm. her everywhere. She's such a liability. I had the same exact experience with Resident Evil Revelations 2. One of
yes.
your characters can't even fire a gun. She's like, I don't touch a gun ever since an incident. I didn't even figure out what it was.
It's like, I didn't care enough.
Know,
like, why are you? You're never going to survive this.
Right. But me and you would just be like, yeah, you're going to need to get the heck over that. Whatever
right.
handcuffs you need, you're going to leave them through the door where the rest of the friends were murdered. Grab the gun, lady. But no, she can hit people with a crowbar if you want to hit people with a crowbar like an
right.
idiot. But yeah, going back, what we can tolerate and how we feel about a game can change. How I feel about Witcher 3 and you know, some of these other games are going to change in, you know, 5 or 10 years.
I don't know, man. Witcher 3 may be like, I'm.
Do you think it's like Skyrim where it'll just kind of hang?
No, I don't think it's like Skyrim because it doesn't have the mod. It doesn't have the community, the modding support like Skyrim does.
Mm.
But it's also not. It's also not a game that is like Skyrim. That was actually something I recently considered doing. I want to pick Skyrim back up, and I want to honestly try to beat it and go through the DLC.
I am too. Yeah.
I've never beaten it. I always get bogged down with mods.
Yeah.
I love those mods. I want to get some graphical mods. I want to get some texture mods. I want to get some interface mods. And I don't necessarily want to go through some of those extra DLC, you know, larger than DLC mods.
Yeah.
But I do want to play through Skyrim. I don't think Witcher 3 has the same type of gameplay or the same type of community as Skyrim. I think it's better than Skyrim in a lot of ways, though, especially story-wise.
Yeah, because they're not as open as
it's intentionally. It's intentional, and it's not linear, but it's intentionally
it's narrowed and focused.
Right. It's got a narrative that is. There's no.
You're role playing.
You don't placate. Yeah, your time exactly.
You're role playing as Geralt of Rivia.
You do this, and there's tons of things and tons of decisions that you can make, but there are very clearly starts and beginnings to those things. And in Skyrim, it's more of a create who you are. In Witcher 3, it is more of a you are this person, and unabashedly, you can be this way or you could be that way, but there are some things you can't change about this person.
Right.
Because that's the story we want to tell. And I'm interested to see how Cyberpunk 2077 fits into how they've designed and worked with Witcher, because it is the same team.
And not to mention, real quick, with Cyberpunk 2077, I'm watching it, I'm like, you're going to run into the same thing when Bethesda got Fallout, is you have a new dynamic, which is we're shooting people now.
Right.
And that may sound like a, you know, kind of a silly, simple thing.
Oh, yeah, it's 2018. Like, we've been shooting people for a long
time,
you know?
But when you have an RPG mechanic, everything you know kind of changes.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, like, 2077, it looks like it's third person. It's not. It's a first-person shooter.
Right.
Which is, you know, I'm expecting System Shock Deluxe plus Halo plus Blade Runner plus, you know, I'm expecting a lot from this game.
Yeah.
And it's important, you know, and I'm speaking to everyone on this one, but a lot to myself. It's important to temper your expectations.
Yes.
Thanks, Mighty Number 9. But it's important to temper your expectations about things that you think are just too big to fail. Like, of course, they're going to work. Right. Or that you really just want them to work.
We're excited. But that doesn't mean we're not listening to the little part of the brain that's going, this might not be perfect.
With bated breath. I am cautiously optimistic. let's cut to three songs and then come back. We're talking about some patriotic games and stuff.
Yep, some 4th of July games.
Or some America game. This is Outbreak by Saber Pulse, Tank by the Seatbelts, and Last Train to Awesome Town by Perry Grip. We'll catch you after the you're playing me out. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And this is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. 3, 2, 1. Let's jam.
Different nachos.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I am Dustin!
What?
Dude, I'm trying to figure out a new way to say that every time. I think I pulled something on that one.
You just heard Last Train to Awesome Town by Perry Grip, Tank by the Seatbelts in the Middle, and then Outbreak by Saber Pulse to open it all up. It is the 4th of July when you're hearing this. It's the 4th of July, which is the day that America declared independence from Great
Britain. Happy birthday, America.
I love how you started with like this really sexy like Marilyn Monroe, like, you know, like pinup.
Happy birthday, Mr. America.
Mr. America.
Happy birthday, United States.
You kind of lose all train of thought when Dustin does that. We have some video games. You've actually curated a list.
I'm wearing a dress.
You're not wearing a dress. I'm not going to.
Oh, no. An uppy breeze.
Who put this grill here? You have curated a list of games that are rather American-esque.
Yes.
And I have just kind of, in my brain, haphazardly come up with a list as well.
Yes.
So please start describing your game.
Wow. That's how they do it on the internet. You got to have like a sound effect.
Michael Bay.
Number one. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that is it.
Yeah, that is it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're like a Watch Mojo.
Make sure you put some garbage dubstep at the beginning of your YouTube video, by the way.
Please don't.
People
do that.
Love it.
I hate it.
Anyway, and make sure when you start talking, go, hey, what's up, YouTube? Like, I don't know where I'm at.
Hey, what's up, video platform?
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, what's up, radio?
Well, could you imagine if somebody on the news was like, hey, what's up, TV? We got the news. That'd be amazing.
They slide in. They slide too far. And then they do a jump cut. And you're like,
Here's what the news is. It's pretty easy. It's not that difficult. sorry. That's way too accurate. So, number one, I played this when I was in boarding school to death. Uh-huh. We love this game. It was for PlayStation 2. If you have a PS2 and can grab this, awesome. If you have a multi-tap or multi-plug thing.
I was like, for some reason I heard Bully. It was like you were in boarding school, PS2, Bully.
Bully.
Wait,
No.
We're it's talking not about games bully, about yeah. America. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's not bully. It's not American to bully people. The more you know. Ba, 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 ba. Okay. But this game I played, it was one of the few games that made use of the multi-controller thing for PS2. Freedom Fighters.
Is that the one where you're like a firefighter?
No.
Oh.
That's Firefighter.
Oh, yeah. My B.
The clue's in the name, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Get with it.
I just sounded it out. You know what? I've listened to a lot of the shows. Every show we've been in together, you that's not the first time you said that to me.
Get with it, idiot.
No, it's in the name.
It's in the name.
You said it
so,
to me before.
Freedom Fighters is about the Russians like taking over the United States. And what's really cool about this game
Red
is.
Red Dawn.
It's kind of like Red Dawn in New York in that you grab most of the game is single player.
Okay.
But you, at any given time, as your leadership grows and as your reputation grows, you can get more AI fighters on your team. And they are crazy helpful.
All right.
So, like, at a point, you get, like, man, like a dozen people following you. Your order giving is kind of limited for them. You can't give them advanced squad-based maneuvers and stuff like that. But you could do some basic stuff with them, like tell them to go here or here, stuff like that.
Okay.
But it makes for some really cool bits because it feels like a firefight, and you're like, oh, I brought my guys to fight their guys kind of thing. And you felt like a leader.
So with the multi-tap, can you play with your friends? Like,
yes.
They are also leaders, or they're part of your crew?
That was the really fun thing about the multiplayer is that you could play as it was the Americans versus the American guerrilla fighters versus the Russians. And two teams can play on each, and they can each grab, like, eight guys.
Nice.
So it would literally be 16 versus 16 and just these massive firefights on these maps. And it was so much fun. We played it to death at St. Stanislaus Boarding School. Shout out to Glenn if he's listening. I'll give him a shout out.
Free shout outs now.
For Glenn, Louise, and Seth.
Hey, oh wow.
My friends
three,
from boarding.
Three shout outs.
Three
huh?
shout outs.
You only have a limited number of those on
the
show.
Oh no, my shout out bank.
That's
but
it.
Freedom Fighters, if you want to feel like a true blue American fighting for liberty on this 4th of July, if you could pick up Freedom Fighters, it might be on the PlayStation
Store,
Greatest Hits.
Or whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. But Freedom Fighters for PS2, one of my favorites, and I'd love to do a Let's Play of it.
Okay. All right. I have one that's very much in the same vein.
Go ahead.
Real quick tangent before we do that. PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 for me was... PlayStation 2 was way more story-based games or whatever.
Oh,
PlayStation
yeah.
1 and a lot of PlayStation 2 games were party games, pretty much, because you didn't have... The multiplayer aspect was always this, like, wave after wave of enemy, or you get together and you shoot each other up or whatever, a la Perfect Dark or something.
Yeah.
Think the zombie mode of the 90s and 2000s. And we played the Army Men games.
The
Army Men games, Sarge's Heroes.
Sarge's Hero 2.
Yeah, you literally played Green Army Men.
My favorite character was Scorch.
Yes.
The flamethrower dude. I love that
Melt
dude.
Melt him down, yeah.
It was
really cool.
You could be
a little Green Army Man and play against, you know, and it was, the graphics weren't great.
But it was so funny.
And it was
funny.
Janky. The animation was weird because you're an army man, so it's like clap, 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 clap.
But just the idea of the game was so funny
to me.
It was like
one of the stages of Conker's Bad Fur Day,
mm-hmm.
but that was the entire game.
The draw distance was like 2 feet.
Yes.
But it was hilarious. You know what scared the dickens out of me?
What?
There's a level in that game. By the way, that's another great one if you want to feel like a true blue American. I'm adding that too. There's a level with a poodle.
And the poodle
chases you around the thing, and you like got to jump on like a table and shoot at the dog, and the dog ends up like eating the main bad guy, who's hilarious. And he's
there's a
bit where Sarge like he's got like nine, the bad guy's got like nine guys with him. And he's got, like, his gang, and he's like, all right, Sarge, it's like, whatever. He's like, what do you expect this? And he takes, like, a roller skate, and he, like, knocks the other nine guys. And the guy's like, he, like, pauses. He's like, ah, well, I'll be honest. I really was not expecting that. That was really good. But can you dodge a bullet? Like, he's like, ah, well, actually, you know what? That was really good.
I like that.
That would it cracked me up when I was a kid. It was Army Men, Sarge's Heroes,
Sarge's
whatever
Hero,
one.
Yeah.
They had one for PS2 as well.
Dreamcast. Yeah.
They had a whole plethora if you can grab them. That's another good one. All right, that's number two.
Number two.
Woo! whoosh sound effect. Every YouTube
production
video.
Production value.
Ooh. I didn't grab these stock things from After Effects.
That's it.
Anyway. Number three. This one's my favorite. Can you beat George Washington with a chain gun? I think you can. BioShock Infinite. Because it's kind of a weird, almost second dimension world where the founding fathers are literally elevated to godhood.
Yes.
And they're like literally they have giant statues of them as like
it's like the
like their mythology is these characters.
Well, I mean, it's like what's it called? Mount Rushmore, but floating in the sky.
If people bow down and worship Mount Rushmore, kind of thing.
Well, if you wipe out, and this isn't a call to action, if you wipe out all of America and all of humanity, and then people somehow survive, but they forget about it, and they find Mount Rushmore semi intact,
it would freak them out.
They're gonna be like, "Oh, there's these giant rock men in the
sky.
They
must be their gods."
Yeah, we should probably worship these people.
But there is like literally like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. Have like they have mechanized versions,
right?
Of
and
them.
They show up with the chain
with
guns.
with the organ style chain guns.
Oh yeah, like the crank gun, yeah,
from the old nineteenth century Gatling guns.
That's a good one. Yeah. Number four, and this is more than just one game, but it's pretty much all of the Fallout games.
Oh yeah,
all of the at least the modern Fallout games. I remember the original Fallout games were very patriotic, but they weren't so on the nose about it. The new ones are very on the nose about it. They exacerbate the different dialects of Americanism, whether it's the Western Americanism or Eastern Americanism, or anything like that. It's so good. Liberty Prime may be my spirit animal.
Oh yeah, it's better to be dead than red.
Right.
And he's like, throwing a nuke
throwing
at people
like a Hail Mary,
just pitches it.
Yeah, I love it. It's so good. There's so many fun moments, and I know. I mean, and I plan on starting New Vegas over because New Vegas has been my favorite Fallout game to play in a long time.
I'm playing it, not getting into it.
No.
No.
Oh, man. I've talked about it on several past shows, not to keep throwing back to those, but that was most of my life for the last week. I've played New Vegas all the way through, and I went, like, if I was in this world, I made the decisions that I would have made if I were me.
That's how I play, yeah.
It's hard for me to be like to be like Dick Shepard in Mass Effect. It's hard for me to be like, jerk Shepard in Mass Effect, but because I'm not a jerk in real life most of the time.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So it's like thank you for reinforcing that.
Sometimes, maybe.
So I don't know.
I'm not, man.
You shake with the best of them. Just keep shaking, little man.
You can't stop me from shaking.
I wouldn't dream of it. What's your number five? What's number five?
Moving on.
What's number five?
Number five. Five. Oh, gosh. I just had it. Hold on here.
Trying to think
okay.
of.
All right. Here we go.
This Red one, Dead Redemption.
That's actually a good one, too. That's probably. This one, though, is hard. This one, you want. It's America, 1776. Revolution. What is more American than Tomahawk and Brits?
Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed 3.
Or Liberation?
Liberation takes place a little bit after it, doesn't it?
Was that the one with the girl?
Yeah, New Orleans.
That's the one that was like mobile game that didn't turn into a PC game.
Yeah, it didn't do well.
No, I'm sorry, Freedom's Cry. That's the
that's a DLC for Black Flag.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom's Cry is the DLC for Black Flag, which was good.
Black Flag was
no,
good.
No, but Assassin's Creed 3, you can play and you can fight for...
Does you
play
Connor?
Connor.
Yeah.
Is the his name, but his Indian name being like Oaxacan, like I cannot remember it, but it's
Christopher Oaxacan.
Christopher Oaxacan. These rebel, these redcoats. Oh, I don't like them.
I walked into the room, I look around. You got muskets on the wall.
They are firing at me.
You know what? Todd Delaney does a decent.
Does he?
Yeah, he does a decent one. But, if you're listening, Todd.
But you're not playing Christopher Oaxacan murdering redcoats. You're playing as a Native American hunting redcoats and kind of they. When I play it, I think a lot of the Patriot. Is clearly a lot of inspiration for it.
Yes.
And I always love that the tomahawk was shaped in the Assassin's Creed symbol. I love that little feature.
It definitely works with the symbol.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little annoying that the series kind of went in an insane direction for the next five games.
Yeah.
I still don't know what's going on with whatever the main character is in the present, slightly in the near future time.
I don't know.
I don't even know what his name is anymore.
I forgot what... Well, in Assassin's Creed Origin, I just kind of like... oh, okay, what's happening now in it, current times really doesn't matter anymore.
I guess, but I mean, all the past already happened. I would want to see an Assassin's Creed game in the future, like in the future.
Well, if they're going to do another Assassin's Creed, I want one or two things. One, change up the mechanic big time, you know, because they kind of rest their head on melee combat and go, okay, we're not changing.
Right.
I would like
make
to
make it a first-person shooter.
Well, I'm not sure about a first-person shooter, but like guns are a little bit more of an important thing and how the game handled it.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3 did a lot with that in that guns were a much bigger thing.
Yes.
How would somebody...
Well, and Black Flag also did a little bit more. And I think they tried to, and then in Unity's case, they didn't really work with it too much.
No.
Though in... I'm trying to think of what the name of the one was. Maybe... No, I think it was
Rogue?
Assassin's 3... No, Rogue was better than the other one that came out right at the same time. The one that Rogue was the one that was stuck on 360 versus the Xbox One version of the next gen or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Unity.
Unity, yeah. I thought Unity was garbage and Rogue was really good.
Oh, yeah, Unity had a lot of problems on launch. But
anyway, that's the show.
We are
out of time.
Oh, we're bum out of time?
Yeah, we're out of time. We have to kind of wrap things up. That's our like short pick of patriotic games. I'm going to try to not play video games other than like the Switch. I'm going to try to like barbecue and do all of the...
It's supposed to be raining all this week, dude.
I have a big, giant covered area. Oh, yeah, I didn't say that in the main thing, but I think I actually really did buy a house. Which is a thing
bought a house.
Which is a thing that might thing, you know, might do an extra little bit.
He's got a house. Gotta have that house.
thanks for hanging out with us. We will be on next Wednesday from 9 to 10 unless something crazy happens. But again, you can check out all of our past audio.
180 episodes!
All of that on your phone. Any phone that you have, you can go online at exppoints.com.
My shirt's off.
Chris Farley and all around here.
Woo!
And then Ric Flair. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to leave you with two songs. This is Airbrushed, The Rack. Mixed by Anamanaguchi, and then Sweep the Leg by No More Kings. We'll see you next week. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This has been the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. No shirts, no shoes, no readmittance. He's going to throw me out.
Getting out of here.